This is a Cincy Fan Talking with LP. You can catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy Fan Talking. You say it like it sounds, just leave off the G. If you have ideas for the show, you can reach me at Cincy_FanTalk@yahoo.com. If you have any suggestions for the show, make sure you leave them there. Who knows, you might find yourself as part of the show. Any feedback would be definitely appreciated. And also, make sure you hit the Linktree page that's on my Twitter. Make sure you click on that. You can find all the different ways to contact me there. Enjoy the show. What's up? What's up, y'all? What's up to everybody out there in podcast land? Welcome to another episode of A Cincy Fan Talking with LP. And of course, this is your boy, yours truly, LP. What's up with it, y'all? Hope y'all enjoying the first couple of days of March. I don't know what's going on with the weather, man. I really don't. It was real live 72 degrees outside yesterday in the Natty. Man, us, we didn't know what to do. Do you put on your hat? Do you put on your coat because it's March? Do you just rock out, you know, no sleeves, you know, sleeve, you know, the sleeveless shirt or whatever? Like what do you do? I don't know. It got us thoroughly confused. Now today's supposed to be like 50. I step outside this morning, the hawk cut me, man. The hawk cut me like a knife, man. The cold hit me to the bone. I'm like, what's going on? It wasn't like this yesterday. I don't know. I'll figure it out. End up with a cold or something like that. People scared to look at me and say, what's up? Because they think I got COVID. You know, that whole thing that people do nowadays. But we making it through. March is turning to April. April is turning to May. Pretty soon it's summertime. And I'll be complaining about how hot it is. So there's that. Got a lot of stuff to get through. Got a lot of stuff to get to. So we're going to go ahead and hop into it. Of course, as always, thank you for sticking and staying for this 30 or 40 minutes or however long this is. Won't keep you too long. As always, got some stuff to get off my chest, which is what my pod is all about. So I'm going to go ahead and lean into that. We're going to get into some Chris Rock business. We're going to talk about Ja Morant and how it's really messed up what he's doing to himself. But you can also see the double standards just flowing all through this whole situation with Ja Morant. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into a little bit of draft stuff. We're going to talk about one thing that irks me about the NFL draft. We're going to get into that. Hey man, it's March. So, hey, we also going to hop into some March Madness stuff. So, we got a lot to get into. So, let's get to it. The whole Chris Rock thing. Look, first things first. It was an excellent performance put out by Chris Rock. It really was. A few things. Number one, Netflix is not playing games with y'all. Like, for real, Netflix is not playing around. I remember back in the day when Netflix was first really, you know, was becoming a thing, they had the worst movies you could ever think of. They had trash on top of trash on top of trash. They had a movie called My Mama's Foot. It was called Mama's Foot. I love bad movies, y'all. Y'all know me. Y'all know how much I enjoy watching a bad movie. I couldn't even watch Mama's Foot. It was so bad I had to cut it off. This is somebody that sat through Black Knight. You feel me? Sat through the whole thing at the movie theater. I'm sure the wife was contemplating divorce at that point. I know she was. She was looking at me real sideways. We sat through that. Couldn't get through Mama's Foot, man. Netflix has gone from Mama's Foot to putting on a live production of one of the biggest comedy acts ever. Like, it is really cool to see Netflix grow the way that they're growing, man. It's crazy. Now, having said that, was a little disappointed when the wife and I sat down and started getting into the whole thing. And then we start realizing this is the same stuff that we saw when we went to Chris Rock's show in June. We looking like, hold on. He said these jokes. We like, he really did say these jokes. Now, he put a little bit of a spin on a lot of the material, but for the most part, for the first hour of the show, I was fading in and out of going to sleep, man. Like, I really was. I'm like, I've already heard this. Now, Chris Rock's people did a really smart thing. When we went to the show in June, they gave us these Yonder pouches. So basically, it's a pouch you put your phone in. You cannot get the phone out. You can't type on it. You can't accidentally push a button. None of that. Your phone is in the pouch. Now you get to hold on to the pouch. It's not like they're taking the phone from you, but they have it somewhere where you can't get to it. So nobody could record the show or nothing like that. So a lot of people might have forgotten about the jokes. I don't forget stuff like that. We watching it like, yeah, he said that stuff about being a victim and all that. He did. I'm fading in and out of sleep, man. I'm like, dude, I'm not gonna make it through this show. It's the same stuff. But we just sitting there waiting for the moment where we start giving it to Will Smith. We just waiting for it. And God Almighty, did it happen. And it was epic. The last, if you haven't seen it, the last 10 minutes of the show is worth sitting through the first hour if you saw it before. Like, if you went to go see him last year, I'm telling you now, if you haven't seen it, the first 50 minutes to an hour will be stuff that you heard before. That last 10 minutes is epic. I'm telling you, it was absolutely awesome to see him finally jabbing back. And there were a lot of people saying, no, you got to be the bigger man and this, that, and the third. Two things. Number one, I tell my daughters this all the time. I don't want you out there, you know, punching people in the face because you feel like it, none of that. But look, but yo, defend yourself. Don't let people just punch you in the face and kick you. Like, you got to defend yourself. You have to, or else you get hurt. That's what Chris Rock did. That's number one. Number two, he did it in the smartest way possible. And when I say that, here's what I mean. He didn't let his emotions overtake him and then just kind of do like one of those sit downs with Gayle King or with Oprah or something like that, where he's not really seeing that much revenue from it. I mean, he might get a little bit of money, but not that long money. Yo, he kept his mouth shut pretty much for a year. At the show that we went to, he talked about it for like 2 minutes. He was like, I'm fine. You know, my face hurt, but I'm fine. He waited until he got the bag. There's so many people out here, and I tell my kids in classes all the time, there's so many people that just don't think when they react. They don't sit down and take time to plot out what they're gonna do. They just act based off emotion. And usually that hurts you in the wallet, and it hurts you in the future when you go like, dang, I shouldn't have did that. So it hurts you two ways. Chris Rock, on the other hand, he was like, you know what? Okay, I got smacked on live television. This is embarrassing. But I know that there's a way that I can get paid from this. Let me keep my mouth shut until I figure it out. And that's what he did. Kudos to Chris Rock, man, for being just a smart business person. And he's always been funny. That's not going to be, you know, something that's going to go away. And people are like, yeah, you know, Chris Rock, he shouldn't have said that. You know, he called his wife a B and all of that. Yeah, he might have been a little bit wrong for that. But he got smacked in the face on live television. What are you gonna do? So it's not like I'm advocating him just calling, you know, women bees like that. But my man, you kind of understand it. But it's still not. It's one of those things where you see why he did what he did, and it's not right, but you see his viewpoint. That's kind of where I'm coming from it. So definitely not advocating the use of calling women out of their names, but I understand his hurt where he was coming from. The show is funny. Definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. Again, if you went to see him already, I wouldn't say fast forward to the last 10 minutes because it's kind of like a build up. And the jokes were funny still. So maybe it was just so late for me. And, you know, we washed up here in the house. So anytime we sit down for too long, it's about time to go to sleep, I guess. My man, Ja Morant. Oh. Oh, my goodness. It's one of those things where it's, for me, it's twofold. And a lot of people don't really understand the other part that I'm talking about. I'm going to go ahead and put this part first so people don't think that I'm trying to, like, advocate for Ja Morant and say what he did is right and what he's doing out here is correct. Because what he's doing is wrong, and he's really hurting himself, and he doesn't have people around him telling him what he's doing is wrong and messed up. But here's all I'm saying before I get into why what he's doing is really messed up. Here's all I'm saying. The fact that the police are getting involved in something like this is absolutely ridiculous. It's one of those things where as black people, especially as black men, we see the double standard flashing like a neon light. And when we bring it up, people are always like, why does it always have to be about race? Why is everything about race? Because for the most part, it is. Like, when you have laws that are written specifically to kind of mess up what's going on with a certain race or with races in America, when you bring it up, it's kind of wrong not to bring it up. And check it out. In Ohio, there's a law here called weapons under disability, where if you have a weapon under disability, it's a $10,000 fine and up to, I believe it's 3 years in jail. Let me double check that. I believe it's 3 years. Nope. 5 years. You can get from 1 to 5 years in jail, and you can get a fine up to $10,000. And I know a lot of people are like, what is a weapon under disability? What do you mean? Like, you can't have weapons while you're disabled? No, it's not like that. Check it out. Now, I'm literally reading this from the Ohio Revised Code. This is number 2923.13. I am literally reading the interpretation of weapons while under disability. Ahem. Anyone who knowingly acquires, carries, or uses any firearm or dangerous weapon if any of the following conditions are applicable. You are a fugitive or convicted felon for the commission of any violent criminal offense. Kind of makes sense. It's like they're adding extra time to it, but kind of makes sense. You know, you shouldn't be doing a crime with a gun anyway. You are under indictment for or have been convicted of any kind of felony offense, or as a minor, if you were convicted of a felony, if you were charged as an adult. Makes sense. You are under indictment for or have been convicted of any kind of felony offense involving the illegal possession, use, sale, administration, distribution, or trafficking of any drug of abuse. Or if you face these charges as a child. Now we're getting to the part where you're like, huh? So somebody with a non-violent drug offense can get 1 to 5 years in jail for having a gun? Now let's make it make sense, y'all. In Ohio, we are literally saying here that if you are carrying the gun, even if you didn't use it, if you have the weapon under these circumstances, if you're dependent on drugs or a high risk for drugs or are a chronic alcoholic, or if you've been committed to a mental institution, or if a judge has determined that you are mentally incompetent, you could get 1 to 5 years in jail and or a $10,000 fine for carrying a gun. for being seen with a gun. Remember, it says anyone who knowingly acquires, carries, or uses a firearm or dangerous weapon. Y'all, I know so many people who have been charged with this crime of weapons under disability. And they weren't doing a violent crime. They had a gun on them while they were smoking weed. Or they got locked up for selling drugs. And then they got out of jail and they had a gun legally. So you legally had a gun. But because you got locked up for a nonviolent offense before and you're seen with the gun that you have legally, you can go to jail for that. Now, as far as I know, for most of the conditions that I read, these lean strongly towards Black folks, especially African-American males. And when you look through history, you notice that the Second Amendment doesn't really necessarily cover Black people. There was a long time where Black people weren't even allowed to have guns or learn to read or learn to write or a lot of stuff of that nature. So when we see a case like Ja Morant, and I'm going to get into the second part in a second. When you see a case like Ja Morant and you see that the Colorado police are investigating the incident, you're kind of looking like, what? For showing a gun? Literally for showing a gun on the internet, he could face fines or possibly get some kind of sentence. That's ridiculous. And I guarantee you that you will not see the NRA stand up for Ja Morant and his Second Amendment rights. I can almost guarantee that you won't see that. It doesn't happen for us. It doesn't happen for Black people. That's the part where I'm kind of like, this is messed up for Ja Morant. This is the second part. That is the only part that makes me go like, dang, that's messed up for Ja Morant. Because on the other hand, the messed up laws against Black people in the Second Amendment aside, the NBA can run their league however they see fit. Like when I walk into my school, I walk into a classroom or any school I've worked at, it says on the door, no guns allowed. So if I'm a gun loving, pistol toting guy, I got to put my gun in the car because at my place of employment, they don't allow guns. I could love my gun, but I got to respect the fact that if I want to get paid from this institution, I got to put my gun up because that's the rule. It's messed up from a legal standpoint. I'm saying from a legal standpoint only that Ja Morant is in the twist. But as far as his employer, my guy, you got to understand, you can't do that. You can't. If you want to, you got to work at a place where they don't really care about that. But the NBA has it specifically in their CBA that they don't want their employees toting guns or showing guns on Instagram Live. They don't want that. You got to respect that. You can't have it both ways. You can't be like, okay, I'm trying to get paid from y'all. Appreciate it. But I want to do what I want to do. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I'm mostly disappointed in the people around Ja Morant because I feel like the richer you get, the wealthier you get, the more enablers you have that are kind of afraid to tell you like, yo, chill out. Homie, you got to chill out. You can't do that. You're going to mess up everything you worked for. And that's why I like what LeBron James did. He kept a very close circle and they were, you know, his best friends, people he grew up with. People that aren't afraid to go like, hey, yo, LeBron, you my homie, you my ace in the place, but you're about to do something stupid and I'm going to tell you about it because you're my boy. I know you got a lot of money, but we've known each other when we had nothing. Like, we were sleeping in the same bed. Like, so you about to mess up. Chill out. And then LeBron would kind of be like, ha, 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 ha. But he'll listen because he know that's coming from a place of love. It's not somebody trying to get something from you. They care about you. Those are people that you need in your circle when you get, I won't even say when you get rich. Those are people that you need, period. Like, I look at kind of how I came up and how I grew up, and I realized that there were always people around me to tell me, like, you know what, you're doing something dumb, LP. You can't do that. Whether it be my brother or my best friends. Because, you know, at some point, you know, us quote unquote nerds, you know, we'll try to step out of our comfort zone. We'll try to be like the thugs or whatever. And even in my neighborhood, I had people that would be like, get out of here, LP. You lame. Like, get your whack self out of here. Like, this is not for you. And I realize now that they was letting me have it. They was kind of giving me the business, but they were also kind of looking out for me because they was like, this is not your scene. You could be doing a lot better. Like, you can get up out of here. Now, you can hit college up, but you can't do that if you with us. They're like, this is what we do. This is not what you do. And when I got to college, one of my homies, he came up to Ohio State, but he was kind of like, you know, there doing other stuff. And he would kind of tell me, like, you know what? I see a lot of people around me that try to, like, you know, fake and be who they really are not. He's like, whereas you know, you kind of embrace who you are. Like, you that school dude. He was like, you know, stick to that lane because it's going to help you out. And I feel like stuff like that helped me out a lot because there were people to tell me that what I was doing is difficult. It's hard to wake up every day and try to do the right thing every single day. It's so easy to do the wrong thing. Like, you'll be surprised how easy it is to just do whatever you want to do and just basically say forget it and start on a downward spiral to just kind of messing up your whole life. It's really, really easy to do. It's so easy, it's scary. Miss some bills and just buy whatever you want. Try this, try that. And in a week or two, you're looking like, dang, I'm really messing up, but you can't stop it. It is hard to consistently try to do the right thing. It really is. And John Moran needs to understand that what he's doing in all respects is really easy to do. It's easy to show your guns on Instagram Live. It's easy to just piss off your career. There's so many people that have done that. It's difficult to be the guy that's gonna wake up and work out and then eat healthy when you want to and stay out of the limelight, play your game, and then go to sleep and do it all again the next day. It's hard to do that. It's harder than people give it credit for. But if you can be that dude, the legacy that you leave is going to be so much. I mean, it's going to be so much better in the long run than just being that guy that blew up for like 3 or 4 years. And now we like, who? What? Oh, yeah, dude that was on Instagram throwing his guns. Remember that? Remember Instagram? Ha 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 ha. That's how it'll be like later on in life. So I won't even call it a double-edged sword because no matter what the legalities are, because it's really messed up for us out here. Like, there's no Second Amendment to save us for real. We can't lean on, you know, it's my legal right to carry a gun. Like, we die for that. We can't do that. But on the other hand, you have an obligation to your employer. You have an obligation to your family, to your friends, to the people around you to simply try to do the right thing on a regular basis. Now, notice I said try. You're not going to do the right thing every single time. You're going to screw up. You're going to make mistakes. But if you're that person that tries to do the right thing every time, you're going to get more grace than being that dude that messes up 15 times and then go like, okay, I'm going to change my life around. Nah, you can't be that guy. So I feel like Ja Morant is recognizing that he's sliding down a slippery slope and he's trying to fix it. And you got to give people credit for that because there's a lot of people out here that'll say, yeah, you know, I can change and I can do whatever. And they'll just keep doing the same reckless stuff. But it takes a big person to be like, you know what? I'm really flying off the rails. Let me slow everything down. Let me get off Instagram. Let me get off Twitter. And just let me fix myself up. And I'll be back. So that's stuff that I appreciate. What we got to do is kind of, you know, be there for him when he gets back, I suppose, you know. Try not to throw this stuff up in his face, because a lot of people like to do that. You know, fans are going to be fans. He's going to go on the road, and people are going to be like, where your gun at? This, that, and the third. You just got to kind of be above it, because one thing about America, we love a redemption story. I'm telling you, we love a redemption story. So, he comes back, he does the right things, he says the right things. Next thing you know, it'll be Ja Morant kind of pulled himself up out of his, down from his bootstraps, and he came back and he's great now. That's the story I want to see for real. Let's go NFL draft, because this will be pretty short. This will be short and sweet. The draft is coming up soon, the NFL draft. What I love about the NFL draft more than anything is the fact that you get to see athletes slide into generational wealth. I love seeing that. I know a lot of people kind of go, like, man, I don't want to see these rich people get money. For me, it's motivational. Like, you see these kids, they worked as hard as they possibly could for the past, 12, 13, 14 years. Practice every day, eating right, getting hit in the head nonstop, all of that stuff. And you see them with their family around them, and they're like, they're about to cross the threshold into getting their family what they need to maintain and get to the next level. They're to the point now where they can focus completely on football and, you know, make sure they manage their money right and everything. And they can set themselves up. They can set their offspring up for a much better life, to where they don't have to play football if they don't want to. They can go to school. They can become doctors, lawyers. They can own football teams. They can do all of that stuff because their pops has kind of like kicked in the door for them. They've opened up that world for them. I love that, man. I love seeing it. What I hate about the draft, this annoys me so much, man, is the fact that we spent all this time watching foosball, right? We go like, I can't wait till August when college foosball starts. And we watch all this football. We watch teams play awesome. We see these guys just start blowing up. And then once the draft starts, it's like we throw it all out the window. We just say, oh, yeah, they were good. But did you see how high this dude jumped? Dude, did you see how fast dude ran down the field? And it's like all the stuff that they did before kind of goes like, eh, but that was college. Dude, that's the point. Like, if I'm watching somebody like CJ Stroud ball out against awesome competition on a regular basis, he goes behind somebody that had like a middling record, but jumped the highest and ran the fastest. That's ridiculous. Like somebody like Bryce Young. You can't tell me that Bryce Young is not one of the two best quarterbacks in this draft. If you want to put him over CJ Stroud, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to go like, no, but CJ Stroud. Uh-uh. I can make arguments for either one of them to be first in the draft. But what I don't get is how Bryce Young is suddenly possibly not one of the best quarterbacks in this draft because he's 5'10". Say what? Are we dunking basketballs here? Like, nah, he won't be able to see over the line. It didn't hurt him in Alabama, right? Nah, but that was college. My guy, my girl. How many people in college do you think Bryce Young played against that are going to be in the NFL? It has to be. It got to be 30, 35, 40. That's a lot of people. He's playing in the SEC, LSU, Georgia, Florida, Auburn, Mississippi State. You got all of these teams with all of these great players. And he dominated against them. I feel like he's going to be okay in the NFL. And if he doesn't make it in the NFL, it won't be because he's too short. I can guarantee you. It won't be because he didn't jump as high or didn't run as fast. It'll be because, one, if he doesn't make it, the system wasn't set up for him to do a good job, or it could be two. He got to the NFL, and he just simply wasn't good enough to play against that competition. Both of those things could happen. Or he could just go and ball out. It's not going to be because he's too short, man. It's not going to be because somebody's left-handed. It's not going to be because their hands are too short. I listen to it so I can laugh at it. But as far as giving it credibility, man, I don't know nobody listen to this nonsense. I'm sure a whole lot of people that are like, you know, picking players, I'm sure they look at this stuff and laugh. I think Joe Burrow's hands were too small, supposedly. I think Patrick Mahomes' hands were too small, supposedly. Just do y'all thing. I hope all of these quarterbacks do well, except when they play the Bengals, for real. But I just feel like they prioritize weird stuff. Like, this quarterback, I think Anthony Richardson jumped the highest. He had, like, the highest vertical of any quarterback ever in the history of the combine. And I'm guessing Anthony Richardson's probably sitting there like, yeah, you know, I did do that, but I just want to play. Like, I don't know. It's the whole draft thing is just weird. I'm ready to see who gets drafted where so they can get their money so they can ball out. That's what I'm kind of looking for. March Madness, y'all, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Love this more than the Super Bowl. Love it more than the finals in the NBA. It's just that great time of the year when you watch mass basketball. Just oodles and oodles of basketball. And the thing is, it all matters. I think that's the thing that makes it so great. It's all important because losers don't get to play the next game. Now, I will say the conference tournaments are kind of like, you know, made for TV. Because for the most part, it doesn't matter who wins the conference tournament because most of them are going to the tournament anyway. Except for those really small schools, they got to win that tournament. But March Madness is coming up, man. I'm really excited trying to see how far Xavier gets because they actually got a squad this year. So, if you know about any brackets that you want me to join to see if I can lose, because I'm going to lose them all anyway, especially this year. I think there were like 8 or 9 number one teams that lost this year. Man, I'm not winning a bracket this year. I barely have a chance most years, you feel me? This year, I'm going down in flames. 7th place, 8th place. I'll just be throwing away money. If it's worth money, you know, if you have to pay to get into the bracket, I'm just, in my head, I've budgeted to throw away like $30, $35. If you know of any free brackets you would like for your boy to join so I can compete and lose against the best of the best, man, just let me know. I'll be happy to do it. But I'll be posted up in the house watching a whole lot of March Madness, all right? I think next week I'll get into my top 5 greatest greatest March Madness moment since I was a kid. I kind of get into it because I'm just going to pick the 5 where I remember exactly. You know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to pick the top 5 moments where I remember exactly where I was when it happened. And in my head, I can think of like 7 or 8 just right off the top of my dome. But I'll cut that into a top 5 because there's like funny stories behind every one of these. I don't know why it's always like that. So we'll do that. Thanks for helping me with a topic for my next show, y'all. Y'all all right. Y'all cool with me. So before we roll out, the black movie choice, because I said we're going to keep this going for the whole year, right? Now, you might have seen this already. I don't know if you have or you haven't. But even if you are not a rap fan, you don't like rap music, I would strongly encourage you to watch Notorious. It's the story of the Notorious B.I.G., Christopher Wallace. I believe his birthday is today, as a matter of fact, today or tomorrow, I believe. As far as biopics go, especially biopics about rappers, it's probably one of the better ones. I wouldn't say probably. It's definitely one of the better ones because they didn't try to make him this great, larger-than-life hero that does no wrong. Like, they show him, like really good biopics do. They show him at his best and they show him at his worst. And they kind of go like, you decide for yourself who he is. Now, as always, history is written by the winners. So there's some people in this biopic that are made to kind of look super bad. Like the depiction of Lil' Kim, even Lil' Kim didn't like it. And I could see why she didn't like it when I watched the movie. You can kind of tell, you know, who was behind the movie. But for the most part, this movie gives you really great insight into not only Biggie's music, but to who he was as a person. He was flawed. He did dumb stuff. And he was also really loyal. And he did a lot of stuff, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. You know, he wanted to do this and he kind of had the drive to do it. So he did it. And he fell down a lot. And he got back up. And before he passed away, he put out really great music. If you listen to the pod before, you know how I feel about Biggie as a storyteller. There are very few people that could touch Biggie as a storyteller. Like, it's to the point where when you talk about Biggie, you talk about the side characters that he made up in his stories. And you know the actual names. Dark Skin Jermaine, Two Tex, Arizona Ron from Tucson, who pushed the black Yukon. Like, he literally gave them backstories. My daughter always talks about this, like how she builds backstories for the people that she draws. This man literally built backstories for the side characters in his raps, so that when he talked about it, you go like, oh, it makes sense that Arizona Ron from Tucson would laugh when he shot her, because I remember what he said about him in the beginning. It's morbid, but it makes sense. I've always appreciated Biggie because he was one of the first people that crossed over without changing who he was. People don't give MC Hammer enough credit for doing that. He crossed over and literally didn't change a thing about what he was doing. He always did gospel songs. He always did dance songs. That was him. He messed up when he tried to cross over and become more of a hardcore artist. That wasn't necessary. Like, he was who he was, so he should have stuck with that. Biggie literally did nothing to cross over and become big to a broad audience of folks, aka white people. Like, he didn't cross over. He didn't stop cussing. He didn't stop rapping violent. He didn't stop rapping funny. He did all of this and was kind of like, you just gonna like this fat, ugly dude because I'm really good at what I do. Like, I'm not changing anything. And that's what he did, and he became really successful. It's a really good watch. It's one of the better rap biopics. Having said that, there's some moments where you go like, what? Like the casting of Tupac, what? When he says I'm Tupac and he looks like he's at like a symposium with like a name tag that says I'm Tupac, like, it's just weird. Like, there's some things that are just weird about the movie. Well, I feel like it's weird to me because I grew up listening to Biggie and Tupac and all of that. So I grew up, you know, watching them when they were alive. So seeing other people play them is just weird. But the person that played Biggie, he looks like he dropped out of a Biggie catalog, man. Like, he had the mannerisms down. He looks like Biggie. He sounds like Biggie. He's a really good actor. I've seen him in other stuff too. It's hard not to see him as Biggie because he looks so much like him. But he's a really good actor. So I would suggest that you watch it if you've seen it already. Watch it again because it's Biggie's birthday, like I did. I feel like you'll enjoy it. Don't watch the Tupac one. You won't hear me asking you to watch the Tupac one because that is not a good movie. It's not. It's bad. I'll give you the Tupac story next week, all right? Like, because we wasted vacation time watching Tupac, and it was bad. Didn't do him a good service. But we out for this week, y'all. Definitely appreciate y'all sticking and staying. Feel free to leave a review on whatever mode you use to listen to LP talk for 35, 40 minutes. Drop the review. Let me know how you feel. If there's stuff you want to hear, let me know. Be honest. As long as you're not cussing at me or just talking ridiculous, I'll be happy to listen. But feedback is always good for your boy. So we are out. Y'all know where it is. Y'all know who we be. But as always, y'all, life is good. Peace out. If you're not ready for the conversation to end, I'm not either. Make sure to catch me on Twitter. That's a Cincy fan talking. Leave off the G at the end of it, and we can keep the conversation going. Also, don't be afraid to hit that subscribe button so you can catch the next episodes. The episodes will drop every Tuesday. If there's a change in that, I'll make sure to let you know. Appreciate the support. As always, life is good.